I want to talk to you about Sabbath. And just because of the whole idea of a sabbatical, and I just want to talk to you about Sabbath and what it means. And I really, as I looked at it this week, I just thought, man, this is something we really in our culture need to pay more attention to. We're not good at it. Or maybe it's just me, but we're not good at it in general. And so I was thinking about scriptures like Psalm 23. You know, he makes us lie down in green pastures. This is one of the most beautiful times of the year, especially in this corner of the world where things are green. Things are green right now. And there's something beautiful about being out in a green pasture and just breathing in the wildflowers and the smell and the, you know, there's just, it's awesome. And there's something that renews us when we can get out in nature and just let God speak to us. And so anyway, there's pictures throughout the Bible that God wants to restore. He wants us to find rest and to lean into him. You know, there's, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, he said, come to me, all who are thirsty or all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We need to be able to give him our burdens. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time doing that because I think I can take care of this and I can get this done. And it's my problem. And God's saying, if you would just give that to me, it would be a lot easier. Instead of being stressed and frustrated and worried. And anybody ever been there? Or just me? Okay. I mentioned this one earlier, but Mark chapter 6, verse 30. 31, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. We can get so busy. Busy is a buzzword in our culture. Like, everybody's busy, right? Busy, busy, busy all the time. There's always something to do. And if you don't have something to do, you can be so distracted and busy online and trying to keep up with whatever people are doing and saying, and you can get angry that way too. And, but it steals your rest because you don't have an opportunity to actually recharge and take care of yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually. Amen? And that's where we get ourselves into trouble, is because we are three-dimensional. We're not just spiritual. We're not just physical. We're not just emotional. And none of them are bad. We need to take care of ourselves. And when things get out of balance is when we struggle. And so I was listening to a message this week by Robert Morris talking about Sabbath, and I just loved his message. So I'm going to borrow lots of his message because I was like, I can't say it better than that. It's just really good. And I thought it's exactly what I had in my heart to share. And so I'm going to use some of his points and some of his stories because it was good. Robert Morris talks about how there was a report that was given in Japan, and we'll just call the guy Mr. A. But he worked for a company and often put in upwards of 110 hours a week, week after week, which means you're working about 16 hours a day for 7 days a week to do that, okay? Nonstop, work, 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 work. And he did this week after week, year after year, and they found him dead at his workstation. He died from a heart attack at the age of 34. And it's interesting, he said when they were doing research for this, he wrote a book on this, he said both Japan, I'm not even trying to pronounce the names that they give, but they all, Japan, Korea, and China all came up with a word to describe this phenomenon that's going on in their culture where people work so much, so hard, they actually work themselves to death. And so they came up with words to describe this. It's a recently new phenomenon that they had. And so they basically described this situation as having literally worked yourself to death, working insane hours under intense pressure with little to no rest. And so they came up with words, each in their own language, to describe this. It's interesting. And sometimes we look at that and go, well, that just sounds like my life, right? There's always somewhere to be, always something to do, pressure, got to keep up with the demands. And honestly, our culture often glorifies busyness, doesn't it? We equate value with being busy. We equate even sometimes productivity. We think, well, I got to be busy. I got to work harder. And it's interesting when you actually look at studies, people that rest well actually are more productive, they're more creative, and often get more done, which seems counterintuitive. But even some of the companies like, and I can't remember who it is, but is it Apple and different ones that have created like sleep stations at work? So it's like, if you're tired, go rest. Is it Google? Okay. So And so it's interesting, and I think it's something that we need to consider for our lives. Do you rest? So God tells us to take a Sabbath. And it's funny, Robert Morris says, this is the one commandment that every Christian thinks they can break. You know, we don't want to commit murder, we don't want to commit adultery, but taking a Sabbath, well, that's not a big deal. And so he actually, if you go to Exodus 16, verses 23 to 30, this is actually before the Ten Commandments that the Lord says this. He said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it, which is always good. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out. Ever sometimes think, I think the Lord said that, but I'm just going to go check just in case. You know, if I'm not sure that was actually God. So some went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Remember when God created everything? Even he took a day. And we are called to take this break, to actually step out of everything, to step back and breathe. God is basically saying, I've provided everything you need during the week so that you can take a day, disconnect from your regular routine of work and everything, and give your body a rest. Does that mean that he doesn't want us to have fun? He actually knows that this is for, I'll read the scripture later, but the Bible says that the Sabbath is for us. It's a blessing. And so when we actually learn to put this into practice, and I'm really preaching to myself, but when we actually learn to put this into practice and rest, we actually are able to live life to the fullest. He designed us in a way that we actually need to be able to take a break. And of course, there's always some that are like, well, I want to take a break all the time. And then there's others that never stop and they need to hear it, right? And so sometimes if you're wired the one way, you're thinking, well, so-and-so needs to hear that. And the other person's like, so-and-so needs to hear that. They need to get going, you know. But here's four things. And again, this is, I'm just taking Robert Morris's points because I thought they're good. Four things about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a commandment. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle. I don't know how cattle work. Well, I guess I do. They used to use them. I was thinking nowadays. Nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, which means he made it holy. Is that pretty clear? Take a day off. It's interesting that this concept is listed with the Ten Commandments, like do not murder, do not have any other gods, do not commit adultery, don't steal, all that stuff, and then take a break. It actually carries, this command carries the same weight as do not murder, do not commit adultery. We've forgotten the importance, I believe, and the seriousness that God actually take time off to rest and reconnect, both with our families, personally, and with the Lord, from our day-to-day routine. Robert Morris shared the story that someone came to him on his day off and said, I know it's your day off, but would you do this? And he said to them, are you asking me to go rob a bank and shoot some people at the drive-thru on my way? Because you're asking me to violate the Ten Commandments. I am taking my day off. And I laughed, and then I thought, there's actually truth to that. We are called to take a break. We're called to protect our time once a week to actually rest. And the reason we do it is because it's a blessing for us. It's a gift for us to be healthy. But it comes, we'll do it if we trust him. Do you trust him with your time? You guys are quiet. All right, second one, it's a witness. The Sabbath is a witness. Exodus 31, verses 14 to 18. You should keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to what? Death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. How does the God who is never tired, how is he refreshed? Any idea? If you go to the original language, Robert Morris mentions this. God created for 6 days. When you're creating, you're speaking. He spoke into existence, right? What are you doing when you speak? You exhale. Well, the original language here actually talks about we are refreshed. He breathed in. He took a pause. He breathed life into Adam. He was breathing out. And then on the seventh day, he breathed in. Any of you ever feel like you got to catch your breath? Okay. We need to breathe in. We need to rest. It was also a sign in the sense it was a witness because Jews would always take that one day. And so in our culture, we used to often have businesses that very few businesses would be open on, even on Saturday and Sunday, but especially Sundays. And now many don't follow that anymore, but there was a rhythm before of even taking that day off because things were closed. And it was a sign in Jewish culture. They took that day off. So someone would come and want to do a business deal, and they'd say, hey, could we get together on Saturday? Because for them, Saturday was the Sabbath. And they would say, can we sign the papers or whatever? And they say, no, I'm not open Saturday. I will not do it Saturday. And it was a sign of their faith and their walk with God. And honestly, as Christians, I think our ability to walk with him is a sign to the world around us if we can have a relationship with him. And this comes out of that. Amen? All right, the third one is it's serious. Numbers 15, starting at verse 32. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. Who said it? The Lord said it, okay? The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp, so as the Lord commanded Moses. All the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. He was gathering wood. But I think sometimes we don't understand that when God gives us these commands, he's serious about them. Like, there are only a few that actually carry a death sentence with them, and one of them is take a Sabbath. If you break the Sabbath, you'll be killed. And now, again, this is Old Testament, but the Bible tells us in Corinthians that everything in the Old Testament is an example for us today. It's showing us something, right? And what we see today is that people, you can actually literally work yourself to death. And so it's serious to God. I mean, you wouldn't think about going and murdering somebody. You wouldn't think about going and cheating on your wife today. This is on par with that. God is saying, take a break. Take a rest. Unplug. All right, the last one, it's a blessing. Mark 2, verse 23 to 28. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for you and I. The idea, the concept of a break, of taking a rest, it's made for us. And it's meant to be a blessing so that we can live life to the fullest. It's kind of like tithing, all right? If you ask someone that has practiced tithing for a length of time, they will always tell you that I'm able to accomplish more. I feel like I have more with the 90% that I have rather than trying to keep 100 for myself, because God blesses it and I come under that covering of him because I am giving back to him like he tells me to. And it's the same thing I believe, and I'll be honest, I have struggled with this in my life. Jill and I were talking last night. It's like, how do we actually put this more into practice in our home? Because God tells us that there is a blessing is made for us. And so if I can trust God with my money, can I trust him with my time? And many people will tell you, and you look at Jewish culture and how they have thrived. Many Jews are some of the wealthiest, most innovative, creative people. They put this into practice. And some of this stuff is just like the law of gravity. When you do it, there is a result that comes because God made us that way. He designed us that way. He designed us to be generous, to give, and to trust him with our finances. And he designed us to give our time, to actually give back, to rest, and to connect with him. And when we do that, we thrive. It puts us in a healthy cycle. And some people might say, well, what about emergencies? Yeah, I mean, Jesus even shared too. He said, when your ox falls in the ditch on Sabbath, you go get the ox. But if your ox is falling in the ditch every time, every day it's supposed to be a Sabbath, there's probably some mismanagement going on, right? It's not that things don't happen. But we need to give him room. I got a video there I wanted to show you guys because I feel like he shares this really well. I don't know if you're able to bring that up.
Speaking, and I was just going. And I hate to tell you this story, but I call it the great underwear crisis of 2005. So one morning I go in to my, I take a shower, go in the closet, open my underwear drawer, and there's only one pair left. And I stood there thinking, what am I going to order? And I was so tired, I couldn't think. I could wash. I could go to Walmart and buy 12 pairs for 97 cents. I couldn't think that. I just thought, I'm not going to have any purple. And I remember starting to get emotional about it and then stress out because I thought to myself, pastors should wear underwear. I'm not going to have any. Put my underwear on, open my sock drawer, no socks. And I sat down in my closet with just my underwear on and cried. I went to lunch with Pastor Tom Lane that day, and I leaned across the table to him and I said, Pastor Tom, I'm losing my mind. He said, what? I said, I'm wrong. Over socks. And my underwear almost made me lose it too. He said, you're not losing your mind, you're exhausted. You're exhausted. And that's when I took my first sabbatical, or I should say when the elders came to my first sabbatical. So every 5 years, I do a sabbatical. And I hear some people sometimes call my vacation sabbatical. That's not really a sabbatical. I do a vacation and then I do another study. Half the time it's vacation, half the time it's study. So, but every 5 years I do a sabbatical. Let me tell you what I do on my sabbatical. Nothing. No work. No writing books. No traveling and speaking. No preparing messages. No study. Nothing that I would do for my job. You can't believe how much your mind needs to rest. Not just your body. And when you let your mind rest, how creative you can be again. Many of you know what
what I'm talking about. There was a time when you were so creative. You used to come up with great ideas.
All right, let's stop there.
Now, you're just trying to stay on top of it all.
I was sharing with a pastor a few months ago just how I felt. I wasn't talking about underwear, but just some of the stuff. And he said, "Paul, you need a sabbatical." And then he said, "You've been in that church for just about 15 years. You should be on your second one." And I said, "I never really even thought about it." He said, and so I started asking pastors who've taken sabbaticals, and to a T, every single one said it was incredibly life-giving to both to them personally, their family, but also the church in the end. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, even for your own life, what are things that you can just say, I want to take a breather to let God speak and renew and refresh? Do you feel extended out of control? We laugh at, oh yeah, you know, what are you going to do about your underwear? Well, have you ever felt overwhelmed to the point where, what am I going to do? It's a sign that we need to take a break, that we need to enter the rest of the Lord. It talks about that in Hebrews chapter 4. We need to rest in Him. He has a rest for us to enter as we walk in His presence, as we walk close to Him, a peace that we can carry. Amen? He shares one more story I'll share with you. He was on his sabbatical on a cruise. It was, and he was on his 53rd day of the cruise, or on his sabbatical. And he said, for the first time in ages, he felt like himself. He was sitting on the boat reading, and just, he started to think and feel like he just back to normal. And he said, he was talking to God about it. And he was praying about it. And God said, you know, you owed 52 days of Sabbaths. You owed 52 Sabbaths. You're on day 53, but you owed a year's worth of Sabbaths. And Robert said, oh, I'm sorry, God, that I owed you these. And God said, no, you didn't owe me. You owed yourself that. And now the 53rd day of taking a break, you actually feel like yourself again. So as I was praying about this, the Lord popped Isaiah 1, verse 11 to 17 in my head, and also 1 Samuel 15. And I'm going to read 1 Samuel 15. Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to His voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams." And I was just contemplating this, you know, like, why does the Lord give us a commandment like this? And I really believe it comes down to, do we trust Him and believe? And are we willing to obey? We've talked this year a lot about abiding. And it says in John 15 that those who love Him obey His commands. And so as I was praying, the Lord popped this into my heart, that he cares about our obedience more than all the outward stuff. And I really felt this morning like He wanted to challenge you, and I know He's challenging me. Are you walking in full obedience? And you might think, oh yeah, well, I haven't done any of the bad, big stuff lately. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't, you know. But what about your heart? I was surprised when I went to pray, a couple of things He brought to mind were decisions that I made without asking Him first. I was like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. But He cares about our obedience, our walk with Him, our heart being connected with Him. And so, do you trust Him with your time? Do you trust Him with your finances? Do you trust Him with your family? And if He's calling you to take a day off, unplug, that means don't look at your email and your phone and all that kind of stuff, and do something different from your everyday work. It doesn't mean that you sit on the couch and stare at the wall. You do hobbies, you do other things that bring life. It doesn't even say in that commandment to go to church. I could preach a whole different sermon on why you should come to church, but that it isn't even saying that. It is take a break, recharge, do something that brings life. Play an instrument, read a book, write something, Work in your garden, whatever. Do something that will bring you life and help restore you, help you lie down in green pastures and rest with him. Amen? So I want to pray for you. In fact, I'll invite the worship team to come. We're going to sing a song to end today. But I want to ask you to take a couple of moments here before we sing. And I would like you to ask the Lord, is there anywhere in my life that I'm not walking in obedience? Anywhere. Any attitude, anything I'm holding on to, anything I'm feeding myself with that's not of you, God. Am I holding on to offense? Am I holding on to bitterness and anger? Am I treating my spouse well? And sometimes the Holy Spirit will remind you, sometimes your spouse will. Sorry, it popped in my head this week. Jill looked at me the one day and was like, you got it. I was getting mad way too fast with the kids. And I was like, my temper was too short. And I realized that's not okay. She was the Holy Spirit in that moment being like, hey, watch how you talk to the kids. Where's your heart at? I so strongly felt that from the Lord this morning as a challenge that I was to bring to you and I. Are we walking in obedience? Do we trust him? Can you trust him with your time? That if you honor the Lord with more of your time, that he will make your other time more productive, more creative, and more fruitful? Just like, can you honor him and trust him with your tithing, with your finances? He calls us to give 10%, and then he calls us to be generous and to give offerings above that. Do you trust him with your finances? Do you trust that he can do more with your 90 or 80 than with your 100 when we give it to him? This whole walk, this whole journey with God is about faith and trust and obedience. And Allah can't force you to believe. This was all designed, though, I believe, to help bring you to that place where you say, I need God and I trust in him. And that's the invitation that God has. He's saying, Jesus said, I come to give you life and life in abundance. And the way that we get there is by trusting, by obeying, and by walking with him. We can try to be busy. We can try to accomplish things on our own. We can try to do a lot of things. But it's when we find rest in him that we find fulfillment. So would you just close your eyes? And I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak to our hearts. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would even bring to mind anything, God, any area where we're walking in disobedience, any area where our heart is not completely right with you. I pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us to those moments, to those places, and help us, Lord, to surrender them, to give them to you, God, to walk in repentance. In Isaiah 1, it says, like, do you think I want all this? Do you think I want all these sacrifices and all this stuff? And then at the end in verse 16, 17, it says, wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans and fight for the rights of widows. He cares about our hearts. And he cares that we then can bear real fruit and not just superficial stuff on the outside, trying to look like we have it all together. But can we be real and can we fall in love with Jesus? Can we trust him with everything and admit that, yeah, we don't have it all together all the time. We're not perfect. But I know that the place where I find the most life is when I'm in his presence and resting in him. So I want to lead you in a prayer. Jesus, yeah, let's just repeat this together. Jesus, I submit my life to you. I'm sorry for everything that I've done wrong. And Lord, I'm sorry for these areas that you're showing me that I'm walking in disobedience. And I confess my sin to you. And I ask that you would wash me clean, that you would restore me Lord, that I could enter your rest. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to make Sabbath, to make rest a part of my life, to honor you and to walk with you. I trust you with my time. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with my future. I trust you with my loved ones. Help me, Jesus, to walk with you, to abide with you, and to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, I just pray for each person that you would fill them with your love today, that you would fill them with your fire, that you would bring joy and peace and strength. And I pray, God, that you would help us to walk in obedience to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this song, and then God bless you.